It's all right. Don't worry. Ben's the one that edits this. We don't need to worry about that. So just come in whenever you want, and Ben's the one that's got to deal with it.
Yeah, that's true. Right, welcome back. No.
Love it.
Enjoy the edit, Ben.
Enjoy the edit.
Hello and welcome to Grumpy Gamers. You're listening to me, Pete, and I'm here with Ben.
Hello.
And Eddie.
Hello.
As always, to be honest. Today we're going to be running you through a bit of the news, some of the new releases, a section on what we've been playing through the week, and today's feature, or really, it's more of a question, a quandary maybe. Is our mods ruining gaming? Thanks, Eddie.
Jesus Christ.
Fuck's sake. True, it's the question we've all been asking. Mods.
It is. Are they ruining gaming?
Absolutely.
But we'll get to that later. A lot of things keep you staring up at the ceiling at night, don't they, Eddie?
Most of the time, it's if you're shit at a video game.
I'm a troubled individual.
I do wonder when you last slept. But... That's a question for another day. Ben, do you want to tell us some news?
Yeah, I'll kick us off. So a big week this week. The Xbox Series X and S and the PlayStation 5 launched.
Yeah.
The Xbox in this country and around the world, but the PS5 launch is this week in this country. So we have to wait a little bit longer, a week later, but around the world it's gone down. So as launches go, the Xbox went pretty well, I think.
That's a bit damning with faint praise, Ben. But
the thing is, when you haven't got huge launch exclusives, I mean, how well can it go? I mean, basically, you're getting a box which is just a bit better than your previous box, but does the same stuff. So, I mean, God, I know now it's launched. I want one of those fucking boxes. I don't know why, but I fucking want one. I've been looking all week to try and get one, and I was so close to getting a Series S. But they've sold out.
But you're getting a PS5 in days.
Yeah. I know, but I want to be part of it. Don't you want
to... What?
I mean, fuck, people have got this. I mean, I know a couple of people who've got them now, and it's like... I'm like, oh fuck! I want one. I want a Game Pass machine. I mean, I've literally got a Game Pass machine, but I want a new one.
Yes, you've literally the new one you have isn't even that old.
No, absolutely not. And the PC I've got is fucking awesome, much better than that Series X. But God, I want one. So yeah, and I think everyone does, and they're sold out everywhere. So nice. No dice. I mean, I did nearly get one. I was a few minutes away, but I was too shocked. I hesitated and I didn't get it. So hopefully in the next 2 weeks. But there were some issues. I think this happens every launch, and I think with the internet these days, small issues become. Yeah. We go all over the internet, don't they? So there were sign-in issues. The internet in this country kind of went down a little bit because of uploading everything on the Xbox. They pretty much resolved these issues within 24 hours, so that wasn't an issue. But there was a big hoo-ha about pictures on the internet of Xbox Series X's being almost like they're caught on fire. This largely stemmed from an overheating issue a few weeks ago, about a month ago. People mentioned about an overheating issue, and I think people piggybacked on that a bit this week. And basically, it transpires that people were blowing vape smoke into their Xbox Series X, and Microsoft had to come out specifically and say, "We didn't think we'd have to say this, but please do not blow vape smoke into your Xbox Series X." And it just goes to prove that that even when you got a 500 quid piece of kit, people will still do their best to create memes and pictures and cause a stir, even if it does fucking wreck their hardware.
Yeah. Jesus, I mean, Christ. I don't see the incentive for those people.
No. What is the incentive? Please tell me.
Some you've people got this new machine. Just want it. You know what? This is a weird comparison, but I'm going to use it. I was watching the golf on YouTube live, day four of the Masters. Was it a couple of days ago?
Yesterday.
And just yesterday, on... Yeah. Oh, was it yesterday? Was it, it might have been yesterday. Yes, I think it was. God, slow week. And... Just down this comment screen, there are people like, oh, Rory's playing well. Rory's a, you know, bad word.
Yeah.
You know, and there was like, Tiger is a racist word. And I was sitting there, and all these, you know, loads of people reacting. And this would happen every minute. And I was thinking, who has the time to do that? Who goes, oh, well, I've got 10 minutes to burn, and I also want to upset a lot of people. I don't get it.
But also, those comments are moving so fast. Like, who's thinking their comment is going to be read by people? Like, and how impactful do they think their comment is? Like, it just seems a bit ridiculous.
What a weird market as well. Like, oh, I'm going to target the people that watch golf live. You know, like, who are they? Like, 40 to 50 year old men, I would say, is the target market. But
hey, golf's a young man's game. We all play golf.
we all
play golf.
Fair enough. But, you know, the average age, come on.
Yes, I suppose. The average people on the course, they're usually older than us.
It's just a shame they're so much faster than us. But, yeah.
Faster, better, stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Everything, good times.
Yeah. Depressing. Stopping.
But, I mean, but beyond even the comments where it can... You know, that's just nut jobs being nut jobs. It costs them nothing. If these guys can potentially break their Xbox or damage their Xbox, and they've got zero reason to, what possesses you to do it in the first place?
Like, I don't know, especially when these things are in such sparse kind of quantity. Yeah. It just seems ridiculous thing to do.
Mm. It's obviously the stupid trolls who are going like, oh, if I put this up, you know, I'll get loads of reactions, but... Hopefully their fucking Xbox breaks.
That's
Microsoft. That would,
I need a replacement.
Do one, mate. Are you fucking serious?
Exactly. And who are you trying to convince of this stuff? I mean, it's just fucking ridiculous. But anyway, Microsoft saw right through it and made something funny out of it. So replace them. Amazon, on the other hand, they decided to let a number of Xbox Series X owners know on the morning of their potential delivery, when it said it had shipped the previous day, that they weren't going to get their Xbox, and instead the email actually referenced they'd get it before the 31st of December. Now, I cannot imagine for one moment that it will actually take that long, because I think the complaints alone will... I think it probably was a standardized email of some description, whatever. And but my God, can you imagine? Like, if I wake up on this Thursday, and my PS5, which they've taken the money for, they have literally taken my money, and they've told me it's coming, they've sent me multiple emails. If they say on the morning that it's not coming to the 31st of December, I may cry. A grown man may break down in his flat.
I've never seen you cry before, but I'm going to come around on Thursday morning, just going to knock on your door.
I'm more of a weeper to films. Like, I allow myself a film. Not in real life. Not in real life, just to films. That's where I allow myself. Armageddon.
Start Armageddon.
And I am... like a baby from the start. I know he gives the ultimate sacrifice, but it's a big deal. I think if your console, which you've been looking forward to for so long, gets that.
I'm sensing a note of worry in your voice there, Ben.
I am a little
like, because do I wait outside Ben's flat in the morning and just, if a delivery driver comes, goes, oh, you're right, I'm Ben.
Oh, mate, I'm Ben. How's it going? That's, yeah, I'll swap for that
it's not
one.
Me.
That was a perfect impression. In fact, listeners, by the way, that last minute was actually me speaking instead of Ben. just for the record.
It's great. flawless impression.
I am properly pumped for Thursday. I've taken Friday off so that I can just play Demon's Souls. I can play Astrobot. I can just get to grips with it. I'm even going to play Bugsnax, the free game on PS Plus. I'm just going to enjoy it. I think this is going to be excellent. I've heard so much about this fucking controller. I know we've banged about it, but yeah, my God, people are calling it the best thing ever. So they're saying it's the thing that actually makes it feel next gen. So I'm so fucking pumped. So I can't wait. Cannot wait. But that brings us on to the PS5 here. See, the PS5 launched America, some parts of the world. Relatively smooth, less smooth than Xbox because there were some kind of legitimate issues, I think, with Miles Morales. There's like some kind of freezing issue. I think it kind of breaks the system a little bit, causes it to do a proper crash. And you have to do a hard reset. If you put it into rest mode when you've paused Miles Morales, I think that's what some people were getting. Again, I think these issues patched out pretty promptly because, you know, these things won't last for long when these huge fucking games come out. But the general reception to the PS5 has been exceptional because the games that they've got on show, the launch lineup is there. Well, there is a launch lineup. That's the
That's the USP in this case.
Yeah, they've got Miles Morales, they've got Demon's Souls, they've even got Godfall. I mean, Godfall has got very mixed reviews. I saw one which was a solid 8 out of 10 and said like it was a bit like a Diablo-esque type looter game. And then other ones I'd seen have called it an absolute clusterfuck. So... but
you've pre-ordered it, haven't you?
Yeah. I'll be running out. Well, I was actually thinking today. I was thinking earlier. I was like, you know, I could get Miles Morales because I don't want to play it. I don't want to play it. But I've heard it's awesome, and I did enjoy Spider-Man when I played it. So I really should get it. But yeah, we all know Demon's Souls is my boy. So that's the one playing. But there is a cool feature though. There is a really cool feature with the PS4 and the PS5. So it turns out that through the Remote Play app on your PS4, which was previously reserved for the PSP, so previously you could play your PS4 games on your PSP using this Remote Play app. So there was a use for the PSP, I think, the other week. Oh, no, that was the... when I say PSP, I mean PS Vita, sorry.
Right.
Yeah. So when Pete slammed the Vita a few weeks ago...
fairly, yes.
Slammed it. There was actually a good thing with the Vita. You can play PS4 games on it. Now, you can actually play your PS5 through your PS4 through the Remote Play app. So... That's pretty cool. You can have your PS4 in another room, and when somebody's in the front room using your TV or something, you can still play your PS5 through your PS4 in the other room. How cool is that?
That is really cool.
That is pretty cool, actually. When you
initially said you can play your PS5 through your PS4, I was going, why? But you've given a good reason. You've given a very understandable reason for why you would, and that is a really versatile function.
I will set up my PS4 in my bedroom, and I will never have to use it in there because I live on my own. But my God, I have the functionality to do so.
Oh, that cut.
I mean, Eddie, you also live on your own.
But, hang on. I have had that problem all year until last month. Come on. Give me that slack.
You live alone.
You live alone just like me. But yeah, that's a fucking cool feature. And also, the PS4 DualShock controller doesn't work on the PS5, but if you play your PS5 games through your PS4, then obviously you can use your DualShock controller. So it makes a use of the old box, just like the Xbox has a use for the old Xbox, because it is literally the same machine. So the next big pumping story is Elden Ring lives.
Nice. Yeah, this Ultra is the big news.
Elden Ring
this is not the big news. Fuck's sake. Oh, Eddie, out of the news this we've had so far, this is your big news.
To a lot of people, Eddie, to real gamers, this is
news. Right,
okay. This is big news. This
we've
is
just yeah. We've just talked about the dropping of two biggest consoles. But yes, this is the news story. This is the one I like. So go on.
Yes, yes. So FromSoft's latest and most ambitious game yet, supposedly. It lives because Phil Spencer, head of Xbox, he has said he's played the game quite a bit. And he held a little bit of praise for it when interviewed. So that has sent the Elden Ring community, the subreddit, wild, because basically we haven't heard anything about Elden Ring for so long. I mean, Pete, we've talked about it quite a bit.
Oh, God, yeah. There,
since it was kind of announced, there's been fucking nothing. So, I don't, Eddie, because you probably don't keep up with this game.
I know. It's just another fucking Demon Souls, isn't it? That's all it is. I've done my research, Ben.
Okay, fine. But George R.R. Martin is... the big thing about this one is that he's doing the collab over the narrative. So this is bringing a lot of people in going like, okay, so this is going to be very story heavy, because the Dark Souls games before have been very lore heavy. But in terms of narrative, I'd say obvious narrative is quite lacking. But there is a hell of a lot of narrative and lore behind it. And you can go so deep into it. But ultimately, the headline story isn't there. You can play the whole game and know fucking nothing about it. but this time round, I think that'll be a bit different. But
it would be a bit of a waste of George R.R. Martin if it was the same way around. And I mean, they had a fantastic trailer. They still have it. They haven't lost it. But they have a fantastic trailer. And everything, all the ingredients seem to be adding up to something that could make for an amazing game. So, yeah, the fact that it's still living is a very good sign for all of us.
Absolutely. And
have they said anything else about it, or is it just it's still alive, you know?
Still alive. I mean, I think it's interesting because Phil Spencer said it. So the head of Xbox has said it. Now, my question would be, why has he said it? Why is he the one that's come out and mentioned it? Like, we know Microsoft is all about acquiring studios. We know Microsoft recognizes it has no fucking games. So it goes about acquiring studios so that it can actually have an offering for people. This could be Microsoft potentially buying FromSoft in the future. I mean, it's an option. It's an option. So I'd like to... I think many people would be mad about that, but it's a possibility that FromSoft could be something that Microsoft look into, and if that happens, it would be fucking huge gaming news. I mean, we've seen Microsoft and Bethesda. What if they come out and buy FromSoft as well? Mm. Is Pete there?
Fuck.
Oh, there's
a... I actually said, you know they own Obsidian as well, of course. So they're kind of cornering the RPG market, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. And this is, this could be massive. If you've got Obsidian, if you've got, so they've got Obsidian and they've got Bethesda.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do have Obsidian, don't they? Because it came to Game Pass 1, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Of course it did. Yeah, Outer Worlds I'm talking about.
Exactly,
this could be a massive deal. I mean, I've just made this up, obviously, but let's just hypothesize that this actually happens. So there we go. Next one. Infinity Ward adds 120 frames per second to Warzone on Xbox Series X, but does not add it to PS5. Now, this is quite controversial. Well, it's quite controversial in a way, because obviously Call of Duty want their games to look the best they possibly can on these consoles. It seems that Xbox have put such massive development into backwards compatible games that and where the PlayStation may not have, that they've actually made it very easy to patch in things. So the lead developer on Rocket League came out last week and said, because they put in some big patches for the Xbox Series X, said actually it's really simple. Well, yeah. simple for them, not simple for us, but simple for them to put in a patch to for things like frame rate and stuff like that. But on the PS5, they have to do full development. So it's a totally different kettle of fish. Now, the interesting thing is obviously that Infinity Ward and Sony have certain exclusive deals, and there's certain limitations on COD in through PlayStation. They have certain exclusive deals and stuff like that, and timed exclusives things, but Xbox don't have that. But now Xbox Warzone does look much better on Xbox. I mean, the difference between 120 frames and 60 frames is outstanding. I mean, I play on 144 frames on my PC, and it's stunning. Like, the difference is astronomical. My PC to my base level Xbox is like fucking mind blowing, the difference. So to get Xbox Series X having that, that's pretty damn fucking cool. But they also did it under the radar, which is interesting because obviously the new Call of Duty came out last week, so they probably didn't want to take away from that with their free game. Our free game's got 120 frames per second. They probably didn't want to say that, but it's a cool addition, cool feature.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still mind blown by the idea that COD put any effort into their games at all, but yeah, I'm sure that is a big deal for those who play them.
I think there can be a perception. I'm playing devil's advocate here, slash on the side of Call of Duty. There can be the perception that that Call of Duty, just like FIFA, just roll out these games, keep them rolling, keep them coming every year, whatever. But actually, I think they've done a decent job the last couple of years. And Pete, I was exactly like you. I was exactly like you. I was not
exactly like him. Do you not remember me being exactly like it? Pete, if you remember, we used to play Rocket League, and it was only till Jack physically messaged me one day when no one else was on going, right, I know I've asked you 16 times and you said no, but I've got Warzone, I'm playing it right now, do you want to join me? And I went, oh, fuck it, I'll just join. And that's all it took.
And I did the same thing where Jack asked me like three times, and then it was getting a bit embarrassing to come up with excuses.
Yeah.
And then I played it, and I was like, my honest thought about Warzone was, and I know we'll go into this at different times or whatever, and we joke about it, but that's for me, that's how Call of Duty always was intended to be, but they could never make it.
And I'm sure there's a better time for us to discuss this in full anyway, but all I'm saying is every single time I've seen a screen with Call of Duty on it, I've wanted to look away from that screen. Nothing about it looks good to me. So 120 FPS to 60 isn't really going to change that.
Okay, that's a strong
but an interesting technical side, though, anyway.
Yeah, it is. It is
very interesting. It's so much easier for Xbox than PS5.
Yeah, it is, and it's the politics around it as well. Like, you just wonder what conversation Sony would have had with them, going like, "Are we going to get this?" It's a free game, but to be honest, if people are buying battle passes, I want them to buy that through the Sony, so that Sony get a cut, not that Microsoft do. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's that one. And then I thought there's an interesting one that I thought Eddie could be interested in. Blood Bowl 3 is entering it closed beta, launching early 2021. So the catch being, if you want to get in that closed beta ready, do you know what you have to do? You have to pre-order the new edition of the Blood Bowl board game. I know that's something you'll be interested in. So if you pre-order that,
really?
I think that's something. Really? This has got to be promoting the sales of the board game, because that surely does not get many buys. Surely.
When I got Blood Bowl the computer game, the first time, I remember buying it. The same thought came across my mind when I bought Total War Warhammer. Surely this is going to stop everyone buying the board game. Do you know what I mean? Like, Warhammer, not so much, because it anymore, is obviously baby. Different. But, yeah, well, I think that's probably why they're doing it. Because no fuckers buying the... Because there's no point. To do the board, you have to go, you know, you have to physically find someone, go around the house, get it, you have to paint the models, make the models. And I know that's half of the fun, but it's just so much easier to log onto your computer and play with a friend online. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So Yeah. I'm not excited anyway. It's Blood Bowl 2. The graphics on are fucking decent. I think the only reason why they're doing this is, well, for money, but because what Warhammer do?
That makes sense.
Never would have guessed it, though.
What they do, they change the rules just like in Warhammer. So like Blood Bowl, they change the rules every like year or whatever to A, bring out a new rule book, which people buy for a lot of money, but also to keep it interesting. So I think the reason why they're doing this is A, you know, to keep everyone interested. But I mean, you know, millions of players still play this game. So it's kind of good because they're probably seeing that people are starting to go away from it and therefore just get new rules out, get a new game, bam, everyone's excited again. So I complain that there's no point getting it because Blood Bowl 2 is great and the rules have changed so fucking little, I don't see the point in it. However, yeah. I will be buying it. So, you know, I can't really be saying that argument, can I?
It's weird because you said last time that they kind of kept people interested by releasing these kind of like DLC packs, and you said the career mode wasn't released at launch, right?
Yeah, that fucking infuriated me, that did. So the career mode wasn't on the base game, really. So when I got it, I was trying to find the career mode. I think in the first one, I think they called it the Blood Bowl campaign or something. And it wasn't there. And you had to basically wait. I think it took about a couple months for the DLC to come out that you had to buy. I think it might have been Legendary Edition. Anyway, that had the career. So for people like me who don't like playing anything but single player, especially with games like this, which takes 45 minutes a game, yeah, it was that really, really pissed me off. So I'm not going to buy it straight off because I'm pretty sure they'll do the same again. They'll be cheeky. Yeah. And they were even cheekier last time. They released it with 8 teams or factions, whatever you want to call it, which was a real piss take because what they did then is they released DLCs with different teams. So they went, oh, if you pay £5, you get another team. They haven't been, I've already looked up, they're releasing 12 straight off the bat this time. So I think a lot of people got pissed off and probably emailed in saying, what the fuck are you doing? So yeah, at least they've kind of woken up to that. Hopefully they start the game with the old career mode, because I reckon that pissed some people off. It pissed me off.
I can't see how they'd get away with not doing it with it from the start now.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You are right. I mean, Games Workshop, who own all of it, they know how to make money. So they are going to... I mean, Total War Warhammer has had a similar history, although the content is generally worth the price every time. It's very much brought out in stages to maximize what they can do with it.
Yeah. Plus, it does. It's brilliant because it keeps you interested. Do you know what I mean? You see, like, oh, this has come. Well, this has come out. Oh, I'm going to jump back on it. Do you know what I mean?
It is
quite nice knowing that your favorite game is kind of going for so long. Like, I loved Siege. You know, Siege, Rainbow Six. They keep on updating it and bringing new characters out. And every time that I was going, I'm going to stop playing this now, bam, a new season, two new characters.
Well, that reinvented itself, didn't it? I mean, Rainbow Six Siege when it came out, it wasn't widely regarded as a great game.
But it
totally, totally reinvented itself and the multiplayer. And now people rave about it like it's the best multiplayer shooter that you could possibly play.
That's an example. Until Warzone came out,
absolutely. I was going to make that same point, Eddie, but I didn't want to rub it in with Pete. But but there have been plenty of examples of other games doing that. I mean, Final Fantasy 14 was famous for totally basically releasing itself, going, nah, this is shit. And then starting again, and then just re-release. But there's so many. That's how you keep people interested. I mean, those two are very, very obvious, kind of over the top examples of people totally like scrapping the paper and then just rewriting everything. But to keep people interested with additional content is tried and tested in this new age where you can just download shit.
True. So. Yeah, they've just maximized it.
Absolutely. So this week, new releases. Now, I did want to make one point at this stage that a lot of people may not be aware that on the Epic Game Store, you basically get a free game every week. Is it every week? Every 2 weeks, Pete?
Yeah, it changes, but yeah.
But starting, I think, on the launch day of the PS5, 19th, you can get Elite Dangerous for free. So Elite Dangerous is the space... is it kind of like looter
explorer? I was going to say, where are you going with this, Ben? Ben, have you ever played it?
No, I've never played it. I've been interested in it before.
Okay, you need to get that game when it's free then.
Yeah, I will be getting it, absolutely. Mm. And it's had phenomenal. So much DLC and stuff. So it's supposed to be class. I mean, I think you really have to get into it though. Have you played a lot of it?
It's a difficult one to get into because I mean, for a start, you need to find like your role. But if you're into it, like heavy into it, you're done for life. Your whole life can be about Elite Dangerous. I know there are people that have been playing it since launch day, just being traders, going from one planet to another to get money and build themselves up. People have become bounty hunters and just earned billions from that. But you know, what it was for me, I remember when I looked at it, I was like, oh, hello, trading in space, bye. But for me, when I put my headphones on and I got introduced to the game on my brand new PC, I was like, holy fucking shit, this looks and sounds insane. It was incredible. Absolutely incredible. And it made No Man's Sky. Oof, no, fuck No Man's Sky compared to that game. I mean, granted, No Man's Sky have really clawed their ways back. But the visuals and the sound of that Elite Dangerous. I mean, knowing me that, but their DLCs have even added to stuff like I didn't like the fact you couldn't land on planets, and then a month later, boom, here's a DLC which means you can land on planets and shit like that.
I was looking into Elite Dangerous a couple of years ago when on my Xbox, I think it was like £20, and I think it was early access. So I think this was, it would have probably been about 4 years ago. Would that make sense? Would it have been out then?
It's been out for quite a while.
Yeah, but they've just been upgrading it, haven't they? And I think it was
2014, 2015.
2014.
So I think it was about 4 years ago that I was kind of thinking, I think they just released like a different, more complete deluxe edition or something. And I think it was £20. And I was like, wow, okay, this looks pretty cool because, No Man's Sky and stuff like that had obviously sparked off that interest. But I mean, when I saw it this week, and it should be something that we mention when there's a good game on the Epic Store, because I think a couple of months ago I got Total War Troy
Edition. Yeah, so, I think we all did.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Yeah. I mean,
what a freebie that is.
Fucking brilliant freebie.
Can I be clear to our listeners? We are not actually sponsored by this website, okay? Is that what you two are doing? Are you fucking plugging? Is that what you're doing?
It's just like
you're gonna send this off to them, aren't you?
We live in an age, right? We live in an age where you get so many free games. Like, well, let's say you have to pay in some way or another. But Game Pass, like, this is the age of gaming. Like, this is. And the fact that on the Epic Game Store they just give away fucking games, which are generally good.
It's a great website. It's the best website around. May I just say that I'm drinking a nice ice cold Budweiser, the king of beers.
Well, I'm having a
brew. That's refreshing.
This podcast is officially sponsored by BrewDog.
I know, why are you saying? Don't say it, because we'll get sued again.
I think we've crossed that bridge. I'm pretty sure you can get defense litigators who do multiple cases for a reduced price. So, in for a penny. Fantastic.
We've already got an open letter from Bethesda waiting for us.
And didn't we get one from Mass Effect as well?
Yeah.
That was just for slander or...
Yeah. Entirely.
So make shit games and then he'll be all right then.
Yeah,
make
dear God. Can I mute you? Is it possible to mute Eddie?
Well, the Mass Effect it is one to mention that last week we said that Game Pass was getting EA Play games, and that's absolutely true. And it's come to console. PC, you have to wait till the 10th of December. So cannot play Andromeda. And let it be said that I don't want an Xbox Series S just to play Andromeda. That's not why.
But
just because we've been talking about it and now I want to play it, even though it's recognized widely as a shit game.
Very widely, yeah.
It definitely isn't a contributing factor to me wanting to put Series S and dropping £250. Absolutely not. When I could just wait a mere few days and play on PC. Absolutely not. But yeah, right. So the new releases for the week. The big one this week is Hyrule Warriors: Age of Calamity, the Zelda prequel on the Switch. That's the big one coming out on the 20th of November. Yeah. I'm not going to get it.
What? Ben, this is the first game that I've seen that I've thought, this is one of Ben's garbage fucking shitty cartoon games, but it looks a bit like Dynasty Warriors, so I won't take the piss out of him for buying it. And now you're fucking saying you're not going to buy it. Does it not look cartoon and shitty enough for you, does it?
Like, that's quite insulting. It looks very much like Wild, and that is widely regarded as one of the best games of all time.
Widely regarded.
So
like fucking Twitch says.
Didn't make it into the top 10 RPGs, though, did it?
No.
It didn't, Pete. You're right.
Very true.
And it didn't even get on the list.
Very true, actually. That's an oversight. But definite oversight. But nobody said we were perfect in creating the definitive top three.
Completely objective and definitive, yes.
Anyway, this is not enough. This is a Dynasty Warriors type game, Hyrule Warriors. Look, it's got all the Breath of the Wild feels. It's like, I will play it. I'd say I'll play it at some point when the price comes down, but Switch games, their price does not come down. So yeah. I don't know, like, I just don't really want to play it. Like, the new Breath of the Wild, when Breath of the Wild 2 comes out, yes, I'll be all fucking in. Like, that is, that'll consume me for a good whatever. I think I played the first one for 80 hours. I think my Switch says 80 hours on Breath of the Wild. So, like, I definitely do love the first one.
Yeah.
I've played Dynasty Warriors. I've played the first Hyrule Warriors. Yeah. I just can't really get into them, to be honest. No. So I'm going to let it come out. I'm going to see the reviews say. I think the reviews will say high eights on this one. I think it'll be a solid 8.7. So let's watch this space, see what comes out.
And next week you'll talk about playing it after buying it.
Yeah. £60. Next one. I thought this one could be right up both of your street. Called Mars Horizon, out 17th November, out of early access. It's been going for a couple of years, but it's coming to PC, Xbox, PS4, and Switch. Strategy sim. If I read you the tagline and see what you think about this, Mars Horizon. Lead a major space agency as you guide humanity to Mars in this strategy simulation game. Construct a base. There you go, Eddie. Design and build rockets. Love that. Conduct missions throughout the solar system and write your own history of space exploration. Created with support from the European Space Agency. So it looks pretty good. I don't know if you guys have checked out this one.
I think we both have. Yeah.
It looks right up your street, right?
Very much so.
That's okay.
Yeah, I have a few doubts about the aesthetic. But otherwise, it very much plays to my ballpark. You know how much I like Surviving Mars. So it's another game in a similar vein to that. It's definitely one I'm going to try.
Yeah, I don't think the aesthetic will bother you much, Eddie, because you play RimWorld, right?
Very helpful, but it looks okay. I think it's one of those. I'll have them on my wish list, and if it's really cheap, then I'll get it. But it's it looks very limited with the whole base building.
Only
key thing, right?
Fine. Yes, and that's the only thing that fucking matters. Yeah, but it looks okay. It looks like one of those that if it's a fiver, I'll pick up. You know.
Fiver, fucking hell, man. You want to say, Jesus, how much do you want off?
Supporting the developers, isn't he? That's Eddie's way.
I'll have it if it's 99p, right?
Okay. Oh, if it's 99p? Yeah, no, yeah, definitely, yeah.
I'll look into it if it's 99p. I'll
pre-order it. I don't know.
Fine. Well, I thought you guys would be more interested, but there we go. Fine. And then still the 19th in this country. Well, I say Demon's Souls comes out. I've actually got it here. It's on the table next to me. It's been toying with me for a full week because for some reason in this country the PS5 games came out a week before the PS5. So in this country no PS5s have been sold, but there's probably a million. I don't know. 200,000 copies of Demon Souls or something.
Yes,
it's crazy. But
so I'm betting it's sitting in your living room. It is what waiting for you, isn't it? It's just mocking you every time you walk past.
But he also takes it to bed with him.
It's actually pride of place. I've got it on the shelf. No, I haven't. But it's unopened. It's unopened, and it's. I cannot fucking wait, guys. Like, I've not watched anything. Like, one of my favorite YouTubers and Twitch streamers, Jacksepticeye, he has been streaming Demon Souls from the start, and Fighting Cowboy on YouTube, he's doing his Let's Play of Demon Souls. I'm not touching it. Like, I just don't want to. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to spoil anything. So I haven't played the original Demon Souls. Been always one that I wanted to play, but because it's on PS3. Basically have to either have something like a way of playing on your PC, or you have to have a PS3, and either way is quite clunky. The PC version just never really flowed whenever I've seen anybody try and play it. Like, it always fucks up, and there's always that thing when you're trying to play an emulated version of a game on a PC, you're always worried that at some point it's gonna fuck up and then you can't play it anymore,
and you lose all the hours.
Absolutely. In a game like that where you commit so much time, just like It would literally break your heart if you midway through. So I've never gone and tried to play it. One of my friends has. He's a huge Souls fan, and he went back, and Demon Souls is like, that's where it all began, and it's I think people say that it's the hardest one, but I'm looking forward to it because I think it's shorter than the Souls game. I think it can be done in about 30 hours. So I'm hoping to have a good solid playthrough this week, and next week on the pod I'll talk about it. I'm sure you'll be glad to listen to that, Eddie, when I do talk about it.
Oh, so definitely.
I think
I bet he can't wait. I bet he's overjoyed.
I bet he's absolutely fucking pumped
because of it.
Because of that. But they're all the releases. Not a lot coming out this week because of the new consoles, and I don't think anybody wants to get in the consoles' ways. So nothing huge from what I could see coming out.
Yeah, I mean, other than all the release games, but yes.
Yeah, other than in this country, all the release games. Absolutely. Which we went over last week because we presented it as though it was the US, but that's fine.
Yeah, that's fair. That's true. That's true. Okay, well, thank you for the news, Ben. That was all very interesting stuff, especially Blood Bowl, which clearly everyone's keen on. Now we're going to talk a little bit more about what we've been playing, what games we've actually been interested in this week. And Eddie, I think you should start.
Lovely. I'm glad about that.
Of course. It's always me. You know what? I'm not even going to complain this time. Because I have
by saying that, you are complaining. By that, you are. That's like a passive complaint.
Yeah. It's just more passive than normal.
Yeah. Go on. Sorry, proceed.
Oh, God. I've been playing Mountain Blade 2 Bannerlord. So, for those of you who don't know who it is, it's a game by Tail Worlds Entertainment. They were an indie company they started with just, I think it's two people, and I think they were man and wife. I could be wrong there. Could have made that up. But it was released in March 2020. It's still early access, and it's the... it's running on from Mountain Blade Warband. Well, actually, it started with Mountain Blade 1. Let's just call it that. And then they had.
I'm pretty sure that was the second best RPG of all time. Is that right?
That's the one.
It's disputed, but we've heard.
I think it was definitively voted as the second best RPG of all time. When Zelda got forgotten, actually, being in the list.
And several others were badly sold short. Yes. Yes, it was definitively...
Narrowly defeated by Pokemon in an exchange. Yeah.
Yeah, that still makes me angry. Which objective things should, of course. So Bannerlord. Bannerlord.
That's it. So it's a medieval RPG game. Have either of you played the first one, Mountain Blade? Yeah. I don't think you have, have you?
No,
a little bit. Yeah.
After riveting review, though, I definitely wanted to try it, but I have a feeling, I'm hoping that you're going to say this is good now, because
It's not in my character to praise a game, is it? I think we all know. I think we've realised that over time, haven't we?
Nothing from what you've been playing in recent weeks have you praised.
Even though I've loved them all. Yeah.
You said they're good games, but absolutely dog shite.
Some might say I'm a bit of a grumpy gamer. See what I did there? Because that's the name of the podcast. Sorry.
Yeah, I got the reference. Yeah.
You respect that. Yeah. So, it's a very, very good game. So there's a lot of RPG elements to it where you can get married and rule a kingdom. You can be a vassal and things like that. And what's really good, they have loads of different aspects of the game. So they have a really good economy, which is based around kind of real life, where supply and demand, which is amazing because you get to do some really cool caravan and trading things to build up your own settlements. There's kind of a base building element, but not much. There's you get your castle and you can build certain buildings which make things good for certain things. So it's got that. But the whole reason why you get this game is because the battles. It's a game that I've never seen before where you control your character and then you also have your army, or you can join your king's army or whatever it is. And you can go into these battles up to 1,000 people in it. So, if that's like a battle on the battlefield, it could be in a village, it could be, sieging a castle, or your castle could be sieged. So it really is like, it's the closest thing you've got to a kind of first person. Well, Pete, you'll be interested. You can play it in third person as well.
Good, good.
And I know most people do. When I see streamers, I see most of them playing third person.
That's because we don't live with blinkers on, so first person is wrong.
So do you play first person, Eddie?
Yes, of course, yeah.
Yeah. I play nothing first person. Yeah,
there's nothing greater than seeing like a flying axe going past your head or having cavalry charge at you and you generally shit yourself because, you know.
See, this is the thing. I would really like to play first person, but until they get rid of the sense that you've got massive blinkers on and can only see a tiny box shape in front of you, it's going to piss me off.
You'll love this, and it relates nicely to my third person argument of why third person shouldn't even be allowed in gaming. We're in third person. So in first person, you've got your shield, you've got your sword, you're in a battle, you put your shield up above your head. You can't see anything. Third person. Oh, whoa! You could see. Exactly. See, first person, that's what's so good, right? You have to wait to hear like the smack against your shield and then lower your shield, hoping that someone else isn't attacking you. And if they are, you get a fucking mace to the head. And that kind of brings out third person. You just fucking hold that shield up until you see a good time to swing. And it's.
You said this about PUBG, didn't you, Eddie? You said the same thing about PUBG.
Yeah, it's garbage. Like,
it's garbage. So, Pete, you're a cheater, is what you're saying. You're a fucking cheater.
Yeah.
A villain.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah.
Thank you. Brilliant. Sorry.
And neither said.
I mean, you're completely wrong, but that's pretty standard.
For the cheaters, you can play in third person as well. And it is quite good because you see all your equipment that you've spent so long trying to build up and get. So it is quite good with third person as well, if I'm being totally honest. As the game itself, it's fantastic. It's really, really good. What upsets me, here we go. That's as far as my praise for this game goes.
Fantastic, really, really good. What upsets me? Lovely. Yeah.
What upsets me is not much improvement from Warband. Now, I know people are going to get really upset with that comment and say, oh, the fucking graphics are insane. And yes, graphics have come a long way, and there are little things that have improved, like the economy system is a little bit more improved than Warband. However, Mountain Blade 1 came out in 2008. That's 12 years ago. Warband came out 10 years ago. I mean, it's difficult because Warband, I would say, was the second best game, top three best games of all time, in my opinion. So it's difficult to say that you expect the game after it to be better. Because obviously, how can it fucking be better? So it's difficult. But part of me, you know, kind of wanted a bit more. Now, it's still in early access, so I shouldn't really be criticizing it. But another criticism of it is a lot of the game. The reason why I'm playing it now, I bought it back in March. I think it's probably the only game that I've bought full price, to be honest with you, in my life. but it's because it's, you know, it's Aftermath Blade, so I kind of had to. But a lot of the systems were broken when they came out. Really, really pissed me off. It kind of made me lose faith in them a bit. But they fixed it now. So they fixed something like 95% of their the trait system, which was the only reason why you fucking played it. But they fixed it now, so that's why I'm playing it. But I mean, how long has it been? It's been 7 months since they...
But you were furious about this, weren't you?
Yeah, you were furious about this game.
You were so looking forward to this game when it came out, because we know that this is your Mount & Blade 1's favorite game or whatever. You banged on about it so much. But the for it to come out a bit of a mess, not even in a workable state, really, from your... That was your opinion. Yeah. It wasn't really workable. They charged full price for it, and it just wasn't workable.
Yeah, exactly. And, you kind of take it with a pinch of salt. But there were a lot of things, there were a lot of buggy problems, which, fair enough to them, they fixed them as they went. But, I mean, the trait system, for example, I would say over 50% of them, over 70% of them did not work. They either didn't work flat out, or parts of them didn't work. In certain areas, it didn't work. So... Correct. The whole reason why you level up your character and you get these traits, the whole reason why you carry on playing the game, really, is to build up your character and get these cool little nifty traits that you can implement in the game. Yeah. And none of them fucking worked. So, and what really pissed me off on top of all this is they released new things, like, for cool bits of the game. So, like, they re-enhanced the archery. And I thought, hang on a fucking minute. Why do you keep on bringing out all these patches? I looked at every single patch that came out. Luckily, there was a guy that kind of explained it all, in a 10-minute video each time. But so I watched all of them. Every fucking time, I was like, why are you... They revamped the Sturgeons, who are the Vikings. They revamped their whole entire fucking clan before they even started on the trait system. I mean, why the fuck are they doing that?
That does sound like a pretty big oversight when... Correct me if I'm wrong, traits are one of the major things of character development throughout the whole game.
Of course. Part of me thinks there must have been a reason why they did that, but thank fuck they finally, 7 months later, have fixed it. Here's the funny thing. When I went to reinstall it, I didn't realize I uninstalled it. I didn't realize I hadn't uninstalled it. That's been on my fucking computer for 7 months. There was me going, right, finally, I'm going to give this game a chance because of Furious. 150 hours I've already played of it, so obviously I liked it. There's me for 7 months thinking, oh, fucking better. 150 hours?
Yeah, that is mental.
That's longer than Ben's longest ever game.
I was going to say, that would let you complete the game I played 10 times.
Ten times.
The thing is, it's got 9 out of 10 on Steam. Like, even though they've just fixed these, I wonder when they did fix these traits, because it's got 9 out of 10 on Steam. It's got 96% on Google.
It must have been in the last few weeks, 3 weeks, I would say, because I check it normally on every patch. I also check it every month.
The trait's not working. Is that something that a novice going into the game wouldn't have noticed?
No, they wouldn't have. Luckily, you see a lot of the streams who they pick it up. They, you know, they're saying it and they go, oh, well, I won't get that because of that perk not working. Mm. And then eventually, I clicked onto the idea and then I researched it. And then I found that there's actually a website called Panlord Perks, because so many people had fucking searched for what perks aren't or are working.
Yeah.
So they've got their own website dedicated to it. So, you know, once a month I would not only look at the patch notes, but I'd go onto that, because it's actually very well done. It's got all, like, kind of what percentages of what perks are working. So it's one of those that I've kept on going on. They fixed it now. So, Ben, I wouldn't recommend it to you, but I'm shocked that Pete hasn't got it. Pete, you know what?
I will be getting that.
You know what I've written down on my notes is, what's your favorite movie of all time?
Yeah, you've got this wrong, dude.
Wait, what the fuck is it?
My favorite movie changes constantly, but it generally comes back to The Usual Suspects.
Oh, okay. Which it's exactly like The Usual Suspects.
Yeah. If there's one game which is...
It's that, Pete.
Which was the film you were thinking of?
I fucking forgot. Orlando Bloom...
The Kingdom of Heaven. Kingdom of Heaven. Great film.
You fucking love that film. How many times have you seen that movie?
Yeah, quite a few. Yeah. Orlando Bloom is terrible in it, as he is in almost every But it's a great
as
film.
It's an incredible movie. It is that, but game form, like the whole like building up his village and shit, and also all the fighting. It's an incredible, incredible game, and it's only going to get better.
Eddie, tell me, you wouldn't recommend it to me. Is that because you know that, like, I don't like embarking on massive learning curve games?
Well, to be honest with you, Ben, because it's like a good game.
A good game.
It's not a sideways scroller, garbage, cartoon, fucking anime piece of shit. So, you know, like Pete, who appreciates good games and fine wine and good whiskey. You know, you and your little pack of sweets down the corner shop.
I'm the only one. Oh, Pete likes whiskey, but you don't even like whiskey, do you, Eddie?
No, I can't stand it.
But I do like whiskey. Good whiskey.
And I like good games.
Okay, all right.
Table subject, absolutely. But yeah, what's the learning curve in it? I've got two questions for you, actually. What's the learning curve? And the second question is, do you play it on PC? I know it's on Xbox as well.
I play it on PC, yes.
Have you tried it on Xbox? Have you tried the first one on Xbox?
You know what? This is how much, and I've never done this with any other game because you know how cheap I am. When it came out on Xbox, which is quite a bit after PC, I also bought it, even though I didn't play it for not even a minute. I still bought it.
Oh, you double dipped and you didn't even try it?
Didn't even because I appreciated the game that much that I went, I kind of want the developers to get. And I think it was like £5. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to.
Cost to buy Mars Horizon for. Yeah, £5.
Yeah. Are you talking about the original Mountain Blade, though, Eddie? Or
yes,
the new one?
I was referencing the original Mountain Blade.
Oh, right. The original, sorry. On the new one, on Xbox, you know what? I didn't even know it was out there, to be honest with you.
I think so. There's PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Microsoft Windows. So, yeah, I assume unless Google's lying.
Here's the thing, Ben. Here's the thing that I'm kind of glad you mentioned because I forgot to actually even talk about it. Warband is... the first one, I should say, and Warband, because Warband is kind of like a DLC. I don't know.
What it's like an extension.
It kind of was like an extension, but
it was a standalone expansion pack. That's how they describe it.
There we are. Right. Well, a big reason of its huge success was because it kind of opened up to modding and the modding community like really well. So. It had loads of the replayability. It fixed a lot of the cracks. And there were loads of like cool mods, like Star Wars mods and all, you know, kind of stuff.
Really? Star Wars mods?
Yeah, there was a Star Wars mod. Yeah.
Fuck.
With guns and stuff. Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Apparently, I don't know how the details of all works, but they've done the same again. They've kind of made the game so that modders can really get their hands dirty with it. And I know for a start that there's loads of mods out there right now, but I'm not downloading because it's early access. Every time an update comes, it'll bloody wipe them out. Be invested in the game, but I know that. Sorry,
is this £50?
Might be.
And this is why I've not bought it yet.
I was just thinking, well, fuck you guys. I'm going to play it. I'm going to fucking play this game. Not going to tell you about it. I'm just going to fucking play it. And I'll be like, yeah, this is really great, actually. Yeah, fuck you, Eddie. I like this game.
How long do you think you'd last before asking stuff about the game?
Yeah, instantly. As soon as I start a game like this or any type of game where it's actually fucking deep as fuck, I am on the wiki straight away.
Where it's anything deep as fuck, as in a 4-meter swimming pool, Ben. Is that what you mean?
There's no reason to bring my lack of ability to swim into this. There's no reason.
It's raining, you don't go outside, mate.
It's hurtful when there's, you know. I don't need to go near the table.
Anyway, we're gonna talk about modding enough very shortly. I think Ben, you should probably tell us about your game first.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've been playing Subnautica on Game Pass because obviously we know it's a very expensive month for myself at the end. So I've been trying to exhaust Game Pass a bit, and I have been playing Plague Tale and finishing that one off. But
awesome.
the new game this week was Subnautica. So I'd seen this advertised for the last couple of years, and I always kind of dismissed it a little bit. I was looking through Game Pass. The Game Pass app on your phone is great, isn't it? Like, to just check.
Fantastic.
Game. Fucking brilliant. So I was just like, okay, really want to play a game on Game Pass. So let's have a little look. And I was going to play, what's it called? A Lonely Night?
Okay.
Or is it called like Dark? Oh, Lonely Dark, the survival game. I fancied a survival game, so there was that one, or Subnautica. And I'd seen this, and I thought, oh, this has No Man's Sky feels to it. So I gave it a whirl. So the developers are Unknown Worlds Entertainment, Grip Games, and Panic Button. So Panic Button, they brought this to the Xbox One. Panic Button are famed recently, and this is when I saw they were involved, I was like, okay, gotta play this game. They brought The Witcher 3 to the Switch. They brought they're bringing Doom Eternal to the Switch. Like, they are just famed. I think Wolfenstein as well, they brought to the Switch. They're just really good at porting games from PC to console to console. They've done absolutely wondrous things getting games work natively on the Switch. And yeah, we joke about it, and I do fucking love the Switch. And the companies like this make the Switch worthwhile. The fact that you play the games that they've brought to the Switch is absolutely fucking amazing. So I was all in on this, and I thought, okay, let's give it a whirl. I must say, I only started playing it the other day, and I've played 4.5 hours, so I really haven't played much of it. I haven't scratched the fucking surface, but this is a wonderful feeling game. Like, it's got, though, you know, when you started playing No Man's Sky for the first time, and you go, oh shit, okay, this is good, this is big, this has got a lot going on. You get the same feeling to this game. So essentially, you're on this kind of starship. It all goes Pete Tong. You crash land on an alien world.
Yeah.
You basically got your big, the big starship that you kind of came on, that's crashed relatively near you, but you're in this kind of like pod in the middle of the ocean. And it's basically survived from there. So you've got to repair your pod and the ship and stuff. And, you basically upgrade your suit. You craft different tools. You look after your hunger, your thirst. You eventually move to base building. You create vehicles for yourself.
Nice.
There's sea monsters everywhere, like fucking huge apex predators around. When you get to the deeper ocean, you can investigate the ship that you actually came on and get blueprints everywhere. Like, it's just really, really fucking involved. And one thing that I have really, really liked about it from the start is that games like No Man's Sky, a little bit, I felt searching for what to do, or like a story element to it. Like, I do need, even in my survival games, I do need some kind of story goal that you're working towards. You don't have to search for the story in this game. Like, every time you do something, you go back to your pod, and then the radio, they'll have a different radio signal from somewhere or something like that. Like, it's just very good at putting you in different directions and kind of guiding you on what you want to do next. But also, like, I do love a game like this where you can go, okay, for the next 10 minutes, next 15 minutes, I'm just gonna sort of catch this particular fish so that I can make some water out of for myself, get my supplies up, that kind of stuff, before going, I really need to upgrade my suit now, so I'm gonna get stuff here. And then one of the things that I do like about it is that you go, oh, okay, how do I do that thing? Then you go on the wiki, and I love that about games, where you can go, I want to do this. Right, let's research that thing. Oh, there's that thing that I can craft. If I get this blueprint over here, how do I make that? How do I get that thing? And it's just got a real great feel to it. Now, there is a sequel to this game, and both games are coming to the Switch next year. But this game for me is a headphones game. Like, the lights kind of turned down, and you're like, I'm sat at my PC, and I just am fully immersive, and it's exactly what I needed this weekend to switch off. Like, when you've got work, things like that going on, it's absolutely perfect to switch off to this game. And I'm
a proper escape, then.
Yeah, and it's a background game, isn't it? Like, you can have your main games that you're playing, but yeah. we've all got those games that we kind of return to, or the background games that you go, oh, I'll just play that this evening. So when we've recorded this tonight, I'll probably stick that on, just because it's just a relaxing game, but also a bit terrifying. Like, when the music is fantastic, when you're going deeper into the ocean, and the music changes, and or like you can hear something kind of coming for you, and you've got this big fucking apex predator around you or something, and it's very, very real possibility of dying. But it's not too savagely difficult like some of these games are. I remember starting No Man's Sky, and I was procedurally generated on the worst planet in the world, it seems. It's like death is instant everywhere. It's not quite like that. Like, it is kind of randomly generated to an extent, but everyone's world is the same. You might spawn in a marginally different location, but the world is kind of built. It's not procedurally generated, as far as I can see. The only downside that I can see to take you out of the immersion a little bit is, even on a high NPC on max settings, pop-in does occur.
Okay.
It does occur, but it's, for the first initial 4 or 5 hours of play, I can't speak highly enough about this game. I think it looks and feels fantastic, but if that changes, I'll keep you up to date. But yeah, anybody wants that type of game on Game Pass, go for it.
Fair. Yeah,
it's on Game Pass.
It's on Game Pass. It's on Game Pass.
So when did it go on Game Pass?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Like, I saw it the other day. So, have you looked into this game before? I think Eddie, right?
Yeah. No, I've done loads of research. And it's one of those games that I've heard that it's incredible. Every single person that I trust their opinion, who have played it, have said it's incredible.
Every other person than me, yeah.
yeah. And that's what puts me off, is you think it's good. It's you know what puts me off, I don't know why, is it's got everything that kind of is down my street. I don't mind the idea that it's underwater. I know that sounds weird, and I know what you're gonna say, because all of the others have said it, they've gone, when I've said that, they've gone, yes, but it's actually somehow still beautiful.
Oh yeah. Now it's interesting. Did you play the expansion that added the water into No Man's Sky and everything you could do underwater and base building under the water?
Yeah, but it didn't appeal to me, so I didn't do it. Yeah,
really. Yeah. It's interesting. Like, I love No Man's Sky because of the space element of it, and this kind of eradicates that because you're just on an alien world. But it really, really does work underwater. All you have to do is instantly step off that little pod, go in, and you're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it could look amazing. Like, if you think of, I mean, a strange link here, but if you think of the Attenborough shows, there's nothing worse about Blue Planet than there is about Human Planet or any of the rest of them.
I actually I like Blue Planet and the sea type episodes of Attenborough.
Yeah, the more.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So I can see the appeal.
It's dark and scary.
And it does get, it's does allow you to travel in three dimensions a lot easier as well.
I can understand those kind of feels about underwater, but the art style of it, it's not cartoony, but it is almost cartoony, if you know what I mean. So it kind of makes it a lot easier to have an underwater aesthetic, because the colors can be more vibrant, and things can be a bit softer.
And the
light shines through a bit more. But what's good is there's a day night cycle. Like, it's different. It genuinely is, with headphones on and fully immersive in the dark, going down, the night's gone down, you're like, fuck, well, because it's easier in the day. But it's it genuinely does have like that intimidation factor, like going further than you've ever been on a little quest that you've made for yourself. It really, really excellent. I definitely recommend it, but I think it's one that, you know, you can't play for a week and then I'm not doing it any justice, because I just have not scratched the surface. It's just it's it's not something that I can do justice to giving it kind of any rating other than, look, this looks like a game that I think we'd all enjoy.
I'm gutted that because I only got Bannerlord on last week because I was in what I call gaming limbo. So I just thought I'd re-download it. If I knew this was on Game Pass, I would have definitely downloaded it. I would have sunk some serious hours in. But I'm downloading it.
It's interesting you mentioned gaming limbo because that's where I've been for a little while. And I think it is just waiting for Cyberpunk, really. That's the game I want to play. And it's not here yet. So
I get that.
Yeah. And so I think, as with Celeste last week, this week it was very much a gaming limbo, what do I want to play situation for me. And I think maybe Celeste set it off because I ended up back playing Ori and the Blind Forest.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. Good game. Great game.
And also on Game Pass, as is the sequel.
As all the best games are.
Yeah, clearly. my God, we are. We are marketing brilliantly for them.
I haven't played this game. That is on Game Pass, isn't it?
It is, and it's fantastic.
I should play that. Yeah.
Yeah. But for those who don't know much about Ori, so it's made by Moon Studios, which in themselves are quite interesting. They're completely decentralized, to the point that some of them only met each other at E3 2014 when they were announcing Ori. And was released in 2015. So same year as The Witcher 3. And quite a few other fantastic games.
Ori was 2015.
It was the first one. Yeah.
Holy shit! Really?
Yeah, it doesn't look like it.
I would never have said that.
Exactly, and it does not look like it.
That's held up real nice.
Oh, held up fantastically. It's still a beautiful game. And it was actually something that pulled me into it. Is a lot of the style of the aesthetics is derived from Studio Ghibli. I know you're familiar with Ben. Do you know Studio Ghibli, Eddie?
No.
So they're a Japanese animation studio.
Oh, yeah, Eddie would not.
But the aesthetics were inspired by a particular one called Valley of the Wind, and you really can see it if you've seen the film. And one of the key things with it is there's not a single repeated asset in the game. So any tree you go past, any mushroom, anything is not repeated. They're all ever so slightly unique in some way or another. And you do notice it. The soundtrack's amazing. It's got a really good but really simple storyline, which doesn't really interrupt the game in any way, but just progresses along with you and gives you that tiny bit of a guiding point that you were saying about, Ben. It gives you a push at those moments where you're not quite sure where you want to go next.
Yeah.
You've got interesting abilities and challenging gameplay. And while I had a bit of a go at ultra hard platformers last week, this one, Ori in particular, and its sequel have kept me hooked in. You die a lot, but there are a lot of ways you can make yourself improve. There's a lot of development you can do to Ori yourself that makes it feel a bit less brutal. Even as you die countlessly trying to escape a tree filling with water.
The
Jinso tree is a nightmare, and it's not even anywhere near the hardest part of the game.
I find that fucking impossible, that part.
Yeah, but I don't get as frustrated by that as I do with games like Celeste, where you can't really change your abilities. In Ori, at least, you're improving. And you know your abilities are developing, so you get better at things as you go.
You know it's you as well. You know that
exactly. Yeah, exactly. And to go with it, the whole game was intended as a homage to games like Rayman and Metroid. And I don't know about you guys, but I played the first Rayman when it was out. So
yeah,
it's always a nice touch to have it link back to that. And it is
Rayman,
it's just a beautiful
as in
game.
The guy with the fist.
Yeah, the guy with the fist and the high blonde.
That's
quiff.
My very first game, I think.
Yeah, it was one of mine.
Is it on Sega?
Oh, no, of course not. No, it was my very first PlayStation game then. Yeah, very first play. That and Crash Bandicoot, I think.
Yeah, I played Crash too. Yeah.
They were the two.
The Ori, I find, is the modern day entry point to Metroidvanias. If people haven't played a Metroidvania, or they're put off by Metroidvanias, that kind of like rehashing, going over areas, going, oh, I couldn't get in there before, now I'll go in there now.
Yeah.
I unlock this part over here because I've got that ability. If you are put off by those games because you're like, oh, they're fucking ball ache, this is a great entry point to Metroidvanias.
It is. And it is just a fantastic game. And the sequel is to the exact same standard. They're not particularly long. You can get through Ori very quickly if you really want to. But generally speaking, I think it's about 12 hours to get almost everything done. And that's the same with the second one as well. And they're a really good game to just go through. And while it's not going to be like Subnautica, where you can just dip in and out for months, most likely, it is one of those where it can fill a week quite nicely for you.
I do also think on the Studio Ghibli point that My Neighbor Totoro is probably where you should start. That's got a personal recommendation from me, and I think you'd really love it.
Eddie will never try that.
No, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. I'd love to sit him down and watch My Neighbor Totoro.
Oh yeah, get him to play.
I find it amazing that games like this were made when I was 4 years old, and I enjoyed it when I was four, but they're still going today. I find that amazing.
And still entertaining.
Mm. You're Rayman. Is that what you're talking about? Not Ori. How old are you?
Any side-scrolling, jumping up and down kind of game. I
thought you hated those games.
I hate them. Yeah, no. When I was four, I loved it. Fucking hate them. I tell you what, between the ages of four
they're for
and
children.
Eight,
okay. Yeah,
I loved them. Absolutely loved them. Then at eight, I went, oh, I'm getting a bit old for this.
Bit old, yeah.
Bit old for that. I'm gonna start drinking whiskey.
Is that when you became the bitter, twisted husk of a man you are now?
Yeah.
Some might say I saw the way life is.
At 8 years old.
Well. Life is shit.
Oh, now that's a revelation.
There is a big statement. Wow. I mean, I also love the fact, I don't even think you were eight when the PlayStation came out, Eddie.
So. No, I don't think so.
I remember getting our PlayStation. My dad won it in a competition. And I remember being young, though. Like, eight probably was about how old we were.
Yeah, I remember my parents showed me a CD, and I went like, what the fuck is that? What is it? It's a CD. I was like, oh, it's a game. And I was like, all right, okay. And then they plugged in Rayman, and I was like, whoa, this is fucking sweet. I'm going to be playing this until I'm 32 years old. No.
And then 2 minutes later, when you turned eight, you gave up Rayman and took up
God, I hate
and went on to
course.
Mature games. Yeah.
Then you started smoking and playing mature games.
Of course. Who doesn't?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. 2D platformers. Fuck that shit.
Fuck that, yeah. Yeah. Jesus. Even but, Crash Bandicoot evolved out of 2D.
That's true.
I mean, I don't think it ever was 2D.
It never was, no.
No, absolutely never was. No, it evolved pretty fucking fast.
Fuck.
Yeah. God, that was a nightmare game. Anyway. I suppose it kind of ties in with the longevity effects.
While downloading Subnautica, I've just seen that actually Warband's on Game Pass.
It is, yeah. What?
Really?
Yeah.
It's on PC Game Pass.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I probably.
I think it is. Right. Yeah.
Okay, let me immediately investigate this, because now you've sparked something, haven't you?
I can imagine the graphics are going to be really good, like timeless. You know,
I've got a great PC.
From 2010, so.
All right. Enough of the rambling, guys, because we're going to get on to what everyone's actually waiting for now. I think it's time we talk about modding, properly talk about modding. Because I want to pitch to you both the question, do we think that mods are ruining gaming?
It's an interesting one. I think there is the obvious answer that mods make games better. But there is the wider question of are they ruining gaming? So I'll put it out there, and I'll say from the start that a lot of the games that I play don't require mods because they are complete
complete fucking garbage
with themselves.
I thought you'd have a stance on this.
They're complete with themselves, and they don't require mods, and they might get DLC, they might get patches, but ultimately they don't require on a community to make a game good. What we see through the PC community, I think what we have is this position where people go, the ability to mod is great, and modders do such a great thing, and isn't that fantastic, that game's amazing, look at all these different options there are. Ultimately, the game was made, the game wasn't good enough, a community made the game good. And I think that's I think that could be deemed as, it's a great thing when a base game is shit or it's not what it could be, and it has to be fixed by the community, and it does bring a community together. Some people fucking love it, and it's happened to a lot of the Fallout games. You know, Fallout gets a lot of praise, but Fallout to a lot of people is good because of the mods.
Yeah, and this is the key thing, isn't it? It's because I play an awful lot of modded games. Eddie, I know you do as well, and I'm sure you're absolutely furiously waiting to say something back to Ben here. But it is that. Does it change the idea of the game? We talked a few weeks ago about games as an art form. And does modding take away from that?
No.
I think Ben probably disagrees.
Okay. Look, I think there are certain games where a developer has designed something to be a certain way, to be in a certain final form. Mods might take that away from that. Now, ultimately, a lot of games these days seem to present it so they're open to modders doing things. And Bethesda... Yeah. You get this thing where Bethesda release games and they're probably not good enough to be I'll rephrase that. They're not.
I would.
The game itself is good enough. I'm just saying technically, and it may not be good enough to stack up for longevity. But the modders have to come in and fix things and do things and patch things out and basically solve the riddle of the game. So it allows companies to release games full, out of with no early access or anything, to release them and rely on a community to fix them. And if they keep the game on PC, they can do that. And ultimately, you can download mods through Xboxes and stuff like that. So I'm not saying that mods are bad. Mods are great. Mods make games great. But should they already have that in the game already? I know, Eddie, you play a lot of games that have mods, and what are your favorite games of all time? You play it a lot because of the mods.
Yeah, but that's why mods are incredible, and that's why they're not ruining games, because they add something. They're not taking anything away. They are adding to it. So when you have a mod, I mean, all mods, there's a million different types of mods for every single game, and all of them are targeted because one person wanted to add a certain thing to the game. Yeah. Now, if someone chooses, no one's fucking making these people download these mods. I mean, the amount of mods that I see for RimWorld and for Fallout and for even Warband, and I look at them and go, that is fucking ridiculous. You know what I do? I don't download it. It's as simple as that. Now, with the whole argument of games are releasing, I mean, that's kind of understandable. That's kind of understandable. But here's another argument. I mean, if you want people to enjoy your game, not everyone is going to enjoy your game the way it is. For example, Fallout 4, I thought looked shit when it first released. It was fucking dull. It was brown. When I downloaded that Beautiful Commonwealth, I think it was called.
Yeah.
Fuck me, did I go, this game is fucking stunning. Now, that's not saying that the game is shit, and that's not taking it away from anyone who wanted that original kind of atmosphere for the game. But that made me, who found it unappealing, to therefore play the game. And that's why they needed. And to take away that argument of... game developers release a game thinking, it's okay with a mod. That's not, we shouldn't blame mods for that. That's the whole, you know, like short skirt and rape argument. That you shouldn't blame the modders.
I mean, that's powerful. I'm not blaming the short skirts. I'm not blaming the modders.
I feel like you are, Ben.
No,
it's
no.
It's not the girl's fault.
What I'm saying is,
is that a lot of deep breaths at the moment.
God, it's hard to. Hard to what's going on? What I'm saying is that the developers themselves can develop this kind of laziness of relying on a community. Now, mods are not bad. Let's put that out there right now. Like you mentioned, that Commonwealth mod, fantastic. But isn't there an argument in there to say that a lot of these big obvious mods that people that are produced, shouldn't the game developer like be doing that prior to?
This is where I'm on your side as well, Ben. Is Eddie, you've played Warhammer Total War, right?
Yeah.
Quite extensively. Have you ever played as the Wood Elves?
Yes, I have. And this is a bit naughty. Okay. And I think you're going to have a go at me for this. It's because I downloaded a mod instead of buying the DLC because it's a mod.
Oh.
So, another whole element to this argument.
And it does. But the key one for me is that, and it's actually quite good that you've not bought the Wood Elves DLC, because the key one for me is the Wood Elf campaign in Warhammer Total War 2 is pure garbage. Unless you
I did
mod
read
it.
About this, yeah.
Unless
yeah,
you mod
it. It's
they introduced
based
a,
on a tree system or something.
So they introduced a mechanic called Amber. And that's through it. That, you have to build up a tree in the center of Athel Lauren. And that's your campaign mechanic. But Amber is an incredibly limited resource that you only get by basically playing the opposite way to the Wood Elves would ever choose to do anything. And the reverse of that, which they're good at, which is stealthy ambush, killing stuff before it notices you. Instead, you have to pretty much conquer the world or become friends with everyone in order to get enough amber to finish your own campaign. And it's just pure garbage, and it's never been updated. And I think the reason it's not been updated when they've done all the other ones is because they know the modding community came up with solutions way before them.
Yeah.
And that is where the problem comes from mods, because yeah, I think none of us are going to argue that individual mods are a bad thing for a game. And in quite a few instances, Skyrim included, mods are the only reason it stays relevant as long as it does.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But when you've got things like quality of life improvements, or, and Total War actually as a series is rife for this, because so many of their difficulty increases only increase mindless arbitrary penalties against you. They don't actually make the AI any better. They don't make interesting mechanics happen. They just give you minus 10 public order.
Well, isn't there the fundamental one in Total War that you can just get more turns per year?
Yeah.
Which is so much better.
Oh, so much better, because it means you get your characters for longer.
Yeah.
And things like that, which are basically just quality of life.
And you can't preset that in the game. You should be able to put that in the settings or something. That seems so obvious.
So many rudimentary failings never get addressed because the modding community does it for them.
So in my mind, it's either the developer didn't want that in the game in the first place, or they've actively chosen not to do it because they know the modding community will do it. Now, there is an argument, and this could be a valid argument in some cases, of saying we do this because we think people will play our games. They will then know what's best for the game, and a community is built around the game. And it increases the longevity. It increases the sales. But are they doing that and allowing that to happen to increase sales over a long-term period?
But you see, that's where I find Warhammer Total War in particular one of the interesting ones, is because they're still releasing content for it. It's not just down to the modders, and they could quite easily go, oh yeah, that mod could be removed if we just change one line of code. Mm-hmm. So let's do that. And they haven't. They just leave it. So you've got to wonder whether they designed the Wood Elf campaign to be a pile of crap, and you could easily say the same of the Beastmen, amongst others, or they're just not bothered about fixing it.
Now that could be lazy, isn't it? Like we release something and we go, all right, we know it's not great, but we've put the building blocks in the game now. So now it can just be modded and then it's a good thing. And it's like, okay, well, that to me is just like, again, mods are not the bad thing,
but this is
the ability to mod encourages bad behaviors potentially.
It does, and this is another one. I guarantee you, in almost every game, one of the most commonly downloaded mods will be called something like community bug fix mod.
Yes.
And like a patch, the fact that has to exist and generally exists for years tells you that the modding community is making it too easy for game developers to just go, that's not our problem.
Now, I know that games, see, you guys play games, you choose games, you research games, and then you commit long, long, long periods of time to those games. So my style, I mix and match. I play a lot of different games, play a lot of single player games. I like to play games, complete games, play the next game. I like to get a lot of different experiences. But you guys, like as you do, you like to really go in deep on particular games, and to mods for you must be an absolute godsend, because they mean you can have one game and it turns it into another game and you don't have to relearn mechanics.
It's the exact same thing as you were saying. It's lots of different experiences. Crusader Kings 3 as a good example of it. I mentioned in our first episode about this game and the fact that they released it to modders before they released it. And that means that when the game drops, they can have some amazing mods ready to go. I forget the name again, but the vampire mod, which is basically a complete rehaul of the whole game, and the Game of Thrones mods are ones that have been being worked on since before the game was released.
But that's like, okay, now that to me, I don't know how to take that, because it's the case in my mind of going, that's great, creates a community, get the best things out of it, that's fantastic, wonderful. But what that company is doing is getting thousands of hours of development time for free.
Indeed.
I don't think that's bad. That's mental.
Funnily enough, Paradox, the makers of CK3, amongst many others, they published Mounted Blade in the first place, are known to have a really healthy relationship with their modding community. But when you say healthy, it is a one-way street,
isn't it? Yeah. What does that mean? That means we let you do it.
Yeah, we let you have the game a bit earlier.
Yeah, but you can have the game. We let you develop.
Yeah, exactly. So does it leave a fundamental problem for the gaming industry?
Yeah. No.
Again, no. No. Yeah. Developers shouldn't be dicks. Developers shouldn't release games that aren't complete. Now,
early access, say.
I mean, there's early access and then there's early access. I've bought many early access games, RimWorld included, that has been fantastic. Absolutely incredible. In fact, most of them have been good. There are some exceptions, but that's not up to... I think if you point blame at the modding industry here, then that's unfair, because it's the developers who should never, ever release that in the first place, like Bannerlord. And I love... their company. I do, but
I think the spotlight was put on modders at the start of this conversation, but ultimately what we're saying is what I'm saying is that modders themselves aren't the problem, but the fact that they exist and are able to do this means that developers have the potential to just get lazy with what they're releasing.
Whereas I'm actually sitting here thinking that the developers are surely the problem in this.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at. That's what I'm trying to get at.
That's the root of it all, isn't it?
But you are making the point of if modders didn't exist, then there might not
because
be so
developers,
much of a problem.
No, yeah? I'm saying because developers, if the developers did their job right, again, what am I talking about? I don't know. I'm not a fucking developer. What I'm saying is, look at RimWorld for you, Eddie. If it didn't have mods, if it was, it's your favorite game of all time. It's a 10 out of 10. It's an absolute worldie. Would it be a 7 out of 10?
I would still give it a 10 out of 10. But
okay,
would I? I probably would have played it 1/10 of what I've played it, and that's because the modding community are so fucking good with RimWorld. In the sense of. It's a game. I have no other game like it where each month I go onto the workshop, Steam Workshop, and I look up most downloaded mods of that month. And there are so fucking many. And there are so many huge ones. Like, literally last month I reinstalled it because there was a one called Empire mod where you could take control of lots of different settlements and they all paid you taxes. And then you could call their military to help you. And it just added another whole layer to the game. And there are so many different different ones that you don't even know you had, that you didn't even know you wanted. You know, yeah. Like I remember a few months ago, I was like, oh, well, I don't think there'll be anything that tickles my interest. And then zombie mod comes up or medieval mod comes up and you just go, fucking hell. I would still give RimWorld 10 out of 10. I would, because I think it's insane. But and I reckon if I disabled all mods, I could probably still play it for
That was what I was going to ask. When was the last time you played it without any mods?
Oh, never. Day one. But that's only because, you know, there are things that you think, oh, I wish that was there and I wish that was there. Mm. So, but hats off to RimWorld, and this shows how their developers are fantastic, is there have been mods, many of them, that have become obsolete because they've actually inherited it and put it into their game.
Yeah.
So, that shows that the developers aren't all bad, because they've obviously taken, you know, what's been downloaded the most and gone, oh, fuck, how did we not include that? So let's nip it in.
And to be fair, I've heard that was done for CK2 and for Stellaris as well, both of which are big games for modding. And I think even Skyrim have done some as well. And I think, yeah, it's interesting. This, the longevity thing is definitely reliant upon mods. Again, Skyrim is the biggest example of that. It's still going strong 10 years later.
Yeah.
Because the modding community is insane.
It is this free labor thing that just doesn't sit. And I know it's people's hobby. That's one of the things. And they want a better game themselves, and they get a reputation in the community for being a good modder. And also, I do think, I don't know whether this is a bit of a fool's errand as well, but I know that modders do get jobs in the industry off the back of modding.
Yes.
So Valve and Activision Blizzard, they're known for hiring modders in industry, and a lot of people will be seeking that and almost something that they're putting on their CV, and that's fine as well. That's absolutely fine. It's just it's almost like interns. It's almost like interns.
I was going to say, you're going to end up talking about trickle down in economics in a sense.
Yeah, exactly. it's weird. It's college American footballers. It's this type of thing. It's like unpaid but doing work, real work. Mm. It's a strong stance to say that it's bad, because it's not. But like, mods aren't bad, and it's actually not bad to develop a community and have your community partaking in this stuff and suggesting things and doing things and be really active. But sometimes I think there are real examples of, and I think your Warhammer example could be one just like that, where it is almost just lazy development.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a very fine line to tread, isn't it? In the best of circumstances, there is no negative to modding, but the opportunity it brings is going to leave some developers with an option to take advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that is one to bear in mind when you see some of these communities, and I think people sink a lot of time into doing this stuff.
Oh, huge amounts.
And I actually think some people get abuse for not, when they commit to a project and then they don't deliver it and working
for free. And they don't update them. Yeah, I've seen on RimWorld where, in the comments section, it's going, you're going to fucking update this for 1.0. And it is upsetting. But there are dicks out there. there are dicks out there. Same with developers. I like to think that there is karma in this world, and like, for example, I mean, this is a bad example, but Bannerlord. When I saw that the traits weren't there, I, instead of downloading the mod that fixes it, I went, no, I'm just going to walk away and not play it for, I mean, it didn't hurt them because I still paid full whack on the game, but my point remains valid.
No, it didn't hurt them at all.
No,
not literally zero.
They stole my money going to the bank account. Thank you.
They give a fuck. Full price, done. Next. Yeah.
If anything, they know next game that they can still do that. Anyway, my point being is I walked away from it, and maybe someone who isn't so stern as me will go, I'm their next game, I'm not going to buy it until I know it's good. I don't know. I mean, probably not. I'll still buy the next fucking Warband.
I mean, obviously, when it's fixed, I mean, the real answer to this might be wait for it to come out of early access before criticizing it. But maybe that's more on you than them, to be honest.
Yeah,
I think that one might be on him.
But yeah, so, I mean, releasing something in early access when it literally doesn't fucking work, but it's, and most people probably don't even know that is pretty insane. But I think I think the conclusion, I think the take home from this, from my perspective, is that there is something behind it which doesn't sit as well as it. I'm not saying it's bad and they should definitely continue and they do actually have a massive place in a lot of these communities, but I do think there is something behind it which is almost a little bit sinister.
So do I. I think the more we've talked about it, however, the more I'm also thinking that we as players should be very grateful for the modders we've got.
Absolutely.
And absolutely, if part of that is covering over the cracks of lazy ass developers, then that's something else we should really be grateful for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I completely agree. Yeah. I often share my love with the modders that have done an amazing job on something huge. And it does sadden me when I see people abuse them because of small things as well. You know, like people have said like, oh, I wish it did this. Why haven't you done that? Can't you do that? And you think this guy has probably spent fucking hundreds of hours doing this. And yeah, but hats off to them. If they didn't do that, I would have played RimWorld 10 times less. Would have played Mountain Blade 1 Warband. I would have played that probably one quarter of the hours I put in. So yeah, without them,
Fallout 4 wouldn't even get a mention in your
Fallout games. 4 probably would have been a 20-hour job for me and turned into probably a 1,000-hour job. So yeah.
So what we're saying is, if not for modders, Eddie would have seen the outside world.
Yes.
I've been
maybe
rich.
If without modders, maybe he would have investigated some other games, single player games, which are fully developed.
Some
fully
sideways scrolling Japanese anime, absolute garbage, fucking dumpster fire kind of games. Yeah,
absolutely, those type of fucking games.
Could have done that. Yeah,
could be a great fan.
Now, yeah, that'd be, I could have played Ori and the Blind Fucking Shitbag or whatever. Right,
now you're riffing on the wrong person
for no reason. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What's that fucking game you made me play last week with a fucking blob that goes around?
Carrion.
4 hours of my life I'm not getting back.
I mean,
you never know. They might mod it.
Admittedly.
If they bring face building into that, yeah. Yeah,
Subnautica. That's the one. That's the one for you. I tell you that. Carrion, yeah, not so much. Didn't really like that. But yeah.
Well,
oh, come on, Subnautica, baby.
Well, I think got my money, baby.
I think for the first ever time we've actually reached an accord on something. Which
wow,
is,
yeah. I didn't get that either. I feel you're unflustered. Yeah,
no,
my blood pressure is.
I thought I was going to get a bit harder in the paint, but actually. it required a softer analysis, I think.
It did. And I think we did that well.
Hats off.
Flawlessly. Objectively. <in fact>. Definitively.
Yeah. Good at those. Anyway, yeah. Forgot Breath of the Wild, see, but yeah. Fine.
Oh, of course, yeah, of course, yeah. Anyway, GG, gamers.
GG, guys.
GG.